Welcome to Real Money with David Holland.
Welcome, welcome. Let's get right to it.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance.
All right, let's take a good hard look at what happened for Friday, March 28th. You know, it was an interesting day on the market. I was watching it throughout the day, and at one point, the Dow was up way over 100 points. I mean, 160, 170 points up. And then, I guess, more sellers came into the market than buyers, right? That's how it works. And ended up, the gains were trimmed significantly to where the Dow ended up being up still, but up only about 59 points, up about 0.33% to close at 16,323. S&P up about 0.5% at 18,57. Let's call it 18,58. I like to round. And the NASDAQ up just 0.1%, up 4 points, 4.5 points on the day to 41.55 for the market close. So there you go. It was an interesting day to watch, though, for the market. Other major news, let me get to. I got a variety of things to share with you today. Well, let's do this. Here we go. Gold. Gold off just under that $1,300 an ounce, $1,293. Crude oil still right around, hovering around $101 a barrel. Euro still at $1.37. It takes $1.37 to buy 1 euro. And the bonds are still in that, I'm not going to say predictable, but a narrow trading band that we've seen where the yield is between 2.5% and 3%, 2.7 yield on 10-year treasuries. Let me see if I've got any other major indicators. Silver still in the $19.83 range. So that's the big stuff. Let me take a quick look at the rest of the news and what's going on in the markets for you. All right, let's look at where we are year to date. S&P 500 year to date with those gains we just mentioned, up just under 0.5%. Mid caps up about the same, and small caps still lagging a little bit. Of course, they had a strong performance in 2013, so off still slightly, about 1% down. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the big Dow, still off about 1.5% or so year to date. So let's do this. Grab our show open, come back, and I want to dig a little bit more into some of the details on the markets and what's happening and some of the things we see, and we'll give you a good show. Stay right there.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Oh, we're back already. That went quick. Okay, thanks for staying there. And let me get back to just a quick, a continued quick rundown of where we are with the markets. I was going to, you know, as I like to do, mention some of the international markets. You know, the big thing, of course, internationally right now, and there's a lot of different places you can look where there are challenges and troubles. And this, I don't believe, and this is just my own personal opinion, I don't believe the Ukrainian thing is anywhere from being over. There's continued reports of Russia amassing a lot of troops basically on the border with Ukraine. Now, that's either to basically thumb their nose at the world and say, we're going to put all our troops we want here, and there's not really much you're going to do about it. Or the concern, of course, is that it could be in preparation for some sort of additional military moves to move into other parts of Russia after coordinating or arranging for the succession of Crimea from Ukraine to join Russia. So we'll see what happens, but I think we'll see some of that play out. Sanctions are a big thing that are being talked about. Sanction, and it really depends on whether we being the United States, can get other countries in Europe especially to go along with those sanctions, because it does have a significant potential economic impact on the countries involved. And of course, if you're a small European country that does a lot of trade with Russia, and the world is saying, or the US is saying, you really need to stop that. but of course, the big question, and this is one of the political things, is stop it now or maybe you can or can't stop it later. The West, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has unveiled an initial $18 billion loan deal as the European Union and the United States both pledged to follow that in terms of lending money to Ukraine. So, and we are expanding our sanctions. There's a report in Wall Street Journal that the Obama administration adopted some new measures to exert economic pressure on Russia over that crisis in Ukraine we've been talking about, cutting off new licenses for exports to Russia of American products with potential sensitive, potential military use. Okay, so that's something, I guess. And there's probably a lot of other things that we're doing that we don't maybe know as much about, but it's a game, and we don't know where this game is headed. Now, what will be the impact on economics? Let's go there. Well, as I just described, this could affect our exports. It might make the price of those trips to the space station a little more expensive. We're paying Russia, I think, $75 million for a ride to the Russian space station. If they're the only one that can get to it, I guess it's theirs, but no, to the International Space Station. And so these things can have an impact. It can have an impact on these other countries, as I mentioned. So as you're looking at your portfolios, we need to have some consideration for how we are building them. I had a gentleman I just met with. I always try to use anecdotes and analogies. It's the way my mind works. I had a gentleman in the other day, and we were looking at making some... He had an existing portfolio. It was actually... He was looking at going into a portfolio that he had kind of constructed himself, and we reviewed it. And one of the things that I found was especially of concern, and it would always be a concern, but especially right now, is the international allocation was very heavy for the part that was going to be in the market. It was about 40% international. Now, I would call that a little bit more aggressive, but in light of what's going on in the world, there was a significant European exposure, and also not it was European developed, which would be the bigger countries, the Germanys, the France, the British, England, but also there was a significant exposure to the developing, not developed, but developing, emerging countries in Europe, the ones that are smaller. And those, of course, are the ones that have this potential economic impact of trying to deal with Russia. The Russian bear is scratching at the door. So this does have an impact on portfolios, because obviously if there are companies that are doing business in those countries who are domesticated in those countries, that's where they're based, and you allocate part of your portfolio to those types of companies in those locales, in those countries, then there is going to be a potential impact. Now, if I go and look at the year-to-date activity for some of the international stock market indices, we can take a quick look at maybe some of these areas. The overall Eurozone market indexes up about 2%. That could change quickly if another major event happens there. Germany is off about 1%. France France is up about 2%. Yeah, those are the ones that are closest. Belgium up 6. Those are some that are close to that region. Go around to some other countries we like to comment on. Italy, the standout, at 11.5% roughly up year to date. Right now, they are the leading market international stock index to refer to. Last year, it was Japan. So the sun was rising for Japan last year, and it has been setting, because Japan is still off some 10% year to date. It's Nikkei stock average. So those are some of the ones that we've been watching closely. As I said, Germany's off a little bit. Israel up 5%. Spain up about 3, Sweden, Switzerland up 2 and 1.5. China still trying to figure it out, still trying to figure some things out there. We see an ongoing effort on China with how they handle their debt and money supplies and lending, and really how they manage a private economy with a totalitarian. Lisa's helping me anyway. Centralized government. And thank you. And so that's something to pull off. And who else? South Korea is off about 2%. That'd be one of your Pacific Tigers. Taiwan's up 2. So, and Australia flat. And they're, of course, close to, they're a trading partner with China. So those are the major market moves and things to be watching and keeping track of. I mentioned Previously, Citigroup taking a bit of a hit because they are one of the big banks that Federal Reserve said not so fast on big dividends because we want to make sure you have enough capital and can handle another recession. Their stock continuing to slide off about 5% recently. So we'll watch these. And Alcoa, maybe this is a sign of things good to come, also up recently by 6% or so. So watch these stocks and these countries to see what plays out. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And welcome back. More to talk about. Let's look at some of the other things that are happening in the market. Well, besides the market, another big story is the Obamacare enrollment report from Wall Street Journal saying that the administration reported that over 6 million people had signed up for health care coverage through the insurance exchanges. And I think that was really kind of in line with what they hoped they would accomplish, but they probably wanted a lot more. But there it is. It is what it is, as they say, right? Corporate profits continue to be up. That's good. Hit new highs in 2013 and driven mostly by companies keeping a tight lid on, guess what? Hiring and spending. So this is 5 years into our economic recovery. You know, that hard, hard bottom in 2008. Remember that? It was just the other day. 5 years now. Microsoft has unveiled a version of their Office software. And for the first time, they've moved away from their Windows first policy, they call it, where it has to go on the Windows platform first. But this one's for the iPad. Amazon's considering advertising supporting supported streaming television and music video service. So they will offer television streaming and they'll have advertising right on it. Now that's interesting. I do like my Amazon mobile app, by the way. And so if I can get television on my mobile app using Amazon, I'll take delivery. What else? Walmart. This is interesting. Walmart is suing Visa for over $5 billion, claiming it charged unreasonably high fees when the retailer's customers paid with plastic. Talk about wait until you've eaten your entire steak, paid the bill, left a restaurant, gone down the road and say, you know, I think that steak was just not thick enough. I mean, talk about wait until after the fact. I'm sure there's lots more to the story, but if I were Visa, I'd be like, well, how long does it take for us to overcharge you $5 billion? It's not talking. See, this is the fee that Visa collects from Walmart, where the person used plastic instead of cash. So where they used a Visa credit card, this is. I think this is a story about the fees that Visa is getting from Walmart. That's negotiated. Isn't that by contract? I don't know. That story was kind of weird to me. So that's a couple of things that were in the news. Kind of big stuff. Let me get to some other stories we've been following. Let's talk about some. I always watch the financial industry, of course. It's what I do, but I also like to keep track of what's happening, regulations, and or if there's a firm that has had problems, it's good to keep track of these and report these to you. FINRA, that is the self-regulatory organization that oversees broker-dealers, stock brokerage firms, broker-dealer firms. And FINRA, they have that authority through the Securities and Exchange Commission, if you want to know that, but that's where their authority comes from. But they are allowed to be self-regulating. On Monday, the FINRA reported issued a fine to LPL Financial, Linsco Private Ledger, if you want to know their whole name, $950,000 for supervisory lapses in the sale of what are called direct investments. And LPL in the settlement agreed to remedy the alleged failures and conduct a review of its compliance programs and broker training. FINRA said that LPL supervisory systems failed to adequately catch concentration limits for illiquid products like non-traded REITs, oil and gas partnerships, and business development companies, as well as hedge funds and managed futures for a couple of 4-year period from 2008 to 2012. And they said that the firm didn't adequately train its supervisory staff to analyze these problems or catch them. So in other words, the regulator said you're not doing a good enough job of making sure that your brokers know when to say when the cup is running over of giving the customer too many things that are very low on liquidity and flexibility. Things like the REITs that aren't traded, not publicly traded, ones that you have to get in a queue and wait for the company to eventually give you your money, or oil and gas with its inherent risks associated with those, and hedge funds and managed futures contracts. So last year, separately, LPL agreed to pay a $500,000 fine and up to $2 million in restitution to Massachusetts investors after the state security regulators charged that firm with improper sales of non-traded REITs. So non-traded REIT can be very illiquid, and that is the concern. So interesting to track this. Let's grab another break, come back. I've got an update for you on PIMCO and some information on Social Security you may not be aware of.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. Okay, let me dig a little more for you here on some of the stories that I'm following for you. And PIMCO, I mentioned that we followed and we're going to be doing a little bit of a focus segment on PIMCO and some of the challenges they're experiencing as a bond fund. They had another blow to their, I'm sure, to both their wallet and their assets they manage and their ego. Pacific Investment Management Company, that's the long name for PIMCO. That's the full name. You didn't know that, did you? Pacific Investment Management Company was replaced by TCW Group as the manager of $1.3 billion bond fund offered by Columbia Management Investment Advisors. And so the fund was previously known as PIMCO Mortgage-Backed Securities Fund, will now become the TCW Core Plus Bond Fund. Information you can't sleep without, but it is interesting to know that, or to see that, PIMCO is experiencing some fallout from some of their challenges with the breakup of their co-CEOs and also their funds experiencing outflows and also some challenges with performance. And a spokesperson for Columbia Management did not, nor for PIMCO, neither responded to emails seeking comment on that change, which I would certainly understand, not want to really take that call to explain that. A call, speaking of a call you do want to make, a report out, Financial Advisor Magazine conveniently providing this to me. Too many widows, widower, or widowed spouses are not getting the maximum Social Security. Roughly one-third of spouses age 70 and older are not getting the maximum Social Security payouts they are entitled to because they are not being told that by the government that they're eligible. According to the Social Security Administration Office of Inspector General, said in a recent report. So the Social Security Inspector General is saying that they're not giving this information, and that's in their report. And they have laid off, I reported in a previous show, they've laid off thousands. I think it was 10, 15, 16,000 employees at Social Security as part of a cost-cutting measure. So don't expect to get a phone call from Social Security Administration saying that you're not getting enough of their money from Social Security Administration. The shortfall amounts to an average of $2,300 for widows and widowers not receiving all the money they're eligible to receive from Social Security. So this is Social Security's internal watchdog. They said that that Social Security failed to identify and notify spouses when they became eligible for increased benefits at age 70 because the agency is unaware of the spouse's eligibility for retirement benefits when they apply for spousal benefits. So the The Social Security Administration sends out notices to widows and widowers who may be eligible for higher retirement benefits at full retirement age and age 70, but it doesn't provide notices to spouses who may be eligible for higher benefits on their own record. So this is the this has led some 26,000 of the 83,000 widows and widowers eligible for maximum benefits not receiving the biggest checks they might be entitled to, according to the study. So all of this, the whole story here, and my message to you is, if that is you, that you fall in that those that bracket of age or your situation, you might want to double check and make sure that you're getting all that you are entitled to, because you paid into that system. You're entitled to get money out of the system. Another question that many people have about Social Security once they become eligible for Social Security at age 62. A lot of people that are retiring right now, their full Social Security age is 66 or 66 and some change. But you could get it as early as 62 by electing to take early benefits. And if you do, it's a reduced amount. A lot of people, and I more and more I'm getting this question, which I'm happy to answer, and I've actually got a special software package that lets me help with this, but a lot of people are trying to figure out how to quote-unquote optimize Social Security. And so by taking Social Security at a certain age, and you have to make a big, big assumption, how long will you live? And of course, that is a big question, but you're looking at your lifestyle, looking at your history and your family and all of that, make a good estimate of what it is, and then you can actually, you can optimize Social Security. And when we say optimization, we're talking about getting the actual most you can out of Social Security by electing different techniques or different methods on drawing your Social Security, where you one spouse may start, one may wait, one may do some of these different strategies of filing and then suspending your payment so that your spouse can then draw off of your record. There's different techniques. Now, what's interesting is this has not gone unnoticed by the White House, the president, and the Obama administration. In a recent couple of places I've seen this reported, that the Reuters has it, as the administration has noticed, it's on their radar screen, I should say, that they know that people are taking advantage of these strategies that are well within the Social Security Administration, how Social Security benefits work, where you can use different techniques between spouses to maximize your benefits. It's not gone unnoticed, especially for high-income Americans who have been the target of what some people would call political targeting. But nonetheless, it is on the radar screen. It's making its way into, I think, the president's radar screen, and maybe looking ahead to how that may play out for the survivability and sustainability of Social Security. You know, it is ultimately going to have to change in some way to be able to provide benefits. And this might be one of several things that gets addressed for those that have made more, who have a larger Social Security benefit, where they may be restricted from taking advantage of some of the techniques available to people with either less money or less Social Security benefit. But these techniques are available. So if there's never been a better time than now to look at the different techniques that you could take advantage of to max out your Social Security, and for some people, they should take it as early as possible. Some people should wait to 66, normal retirement age, or wait till age 70, where you've had an 8% increase each year in your Social Security benefit because of that waiting. And you have to run the numbers. It's not an intuitive calculation. You have to run the numbers, and I've run it several times using the special software I have, and it's not difficult. I just need to see your Social Security statement. Now, you're probably saying, you know, come to think of it, I haven't gotten one of those in a while, and there's a reason for that. They stopped sending them to you, which I think actually was pretty smart. I don't want that going in the mailbox. And also, that is a cost control. So you go on the website, ssa.gov, you print it out, And with that information and an expectation about longevity, and it, of course, for couples, we need to see both Social Security statements, your date of birth. That's pretty much it. We can figure out how to optimize that. And so that is that's something you can do. And it just takes having the right tools and the right and knowing what the techniques are for taking advantage of that. So that's Social Security. Let me grab one more quick break. We'll come back. I've got one more topic to hit. Stay tuned.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back. I want to just touch, I thought of a couple more things on the Social Security question. When to take it. If you do take it before 66, you have to keep in mind that you are limited in how much you make if you continue to work. And I'm talking about wage income. I get this question a lot. We're talking about wage income. So you could be drawing $100,000 a year out of your IRA at age 62 and draw your Social Security and you won't be penalized on your Social Security. But if you have 15 or so thousand, it's 15 and some change. I don't have the number memorized, but it's 15,000 and some change. Call it $16,000, that if you make more than that and you take Social Security before 66, so let's say you take it at 62 and you've got a part-time job making $20,000 or even a more than part-time making $20,000, then you are going to lose some of your Social Security benefit. You have to give money back to, they'll reduce your Social Security benefit. Now, get this part also. I'm not talking about taxation. I'm talking about actually losing benefit. The Social Security taxation is completely separate and would affect somebody who has a lot of income. And depending on whether you're single or married, you if you have too much income, then they will then it becomes a tax issue and you will have to pay tax on 50 or 85% of Social Security. So those are two separate things, but just keep in mind that one of the advantages of retiring or not drawing your Social Security until 66 is number one, the obvious. You don't get a reduced benefit. And then number two, you can make as much as you want. So if you're working, you enjoy your job, keep doing it. Put that off if you can. All right. We'll wrap it up right there. Have a great day.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.